Good afternoon. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Friday, the 23rd of April. What a strange historic week it's been. First white cop to get jailed in Minneapolis for murdering a black guy. No, that's not the news you want me to discuss, is it? No, right. Firstly, thank you for all your patience. I didn't say that anybody emailed in complaining where the podcasts were, but people were asking what had happened, and I think some felt that I may have just sort of, in my phasing down of days, had then just given up. I would not, of course, do that without telling you. Had issues with the grandson in Malta, quite serious on Sunday, and that sort of derailed my week. But all is okay now, other than my good lady, who... I just need to get her out there, really. And I think once that's done, then life will be a bit easier. It's just so hard doing and dealing with these sort of things over distance and remotely. So, yes, we're back in the saddle now. There will not be a podcast on Monday, but we will resume a pretty normal schedule, bearing any issues arising. But, yeah, be tomorrow, nothing Sunday, Monday. I'll do Tuesday and Wednesday next week, and then obviously we'll get into the Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday podcasts. It's a bit out of date, to be honest, because I was planning to try and do one on Tuesday and just couldn't, and I'd written a version of American Pie to cover the Super League, which I thought was really good, but it's not worth singing now. It's all out of date. I mean, that collapsed quicker than a Spurs defence, and somehow in the middle of all that going on, that Super League business, Spurs managed to sack Mourinho and replace him with a guy who's never managed a game of top-flight football. You genuinely couldn't make it up. So let's start the Super League first. I've had many WhatsApps with a lot of you. Again, I've got to hold my hands up. I was wrong. I absolutely thought 100% it would go ahead when it was announced. I'll start with my views, which mirror the majority of people. I think it was an absolute disgusting power grab first. I have no doubt that engineered by the US owners in the Premier League, the guy at AC Milan, US, and the Spanish giants. Its own, you know, I can't say a lot more than's not been said. The new league, it was designed for a single purpose, to extract for wealthy owners bigger share of broadcasting rights, and ensure that they were maintained and kept stable by eliminating the risk of any club falling out of it. The likes of Levy, he just must be rubbing his hands at it, the prospect, the disgusting little grub. But let's deal with there are a few issues around it, which I like to have my say on, as you'd be disappointed if I didn't. Firstly, the fans saying, what are Spurs in it and Arsenal in it type of chat. Grow up, you've just got to be really thick to try and equate that this was anything to do with any type of historic football performance or records or anything like that. It's money, plain and simple. Spurs are in it because... You know, and the fact that Spurs are in it tells you everything you need to know about exactly what it is. Spurs are one of the top 10 richest clubs in the world. And of course, they would be at a table where the rich aim to get richer. So, you know, saying, oh, what are Spurs doing in it? It's nothing to do with football performance. It's absolutely all about cash. I think everybody's well aware of that. So you're just wasting your time talking shite. Secondly, all the outrage from fans of clubs not in it. Again, grow up and behave. Do you honestly tell me, let's take Golden Sullivan at West Ham, they're going to turn down $260 million to be in it? Or Parrish at Crystal Palace? There's not one single club who would have turned it down in the Premier League if asked. The German clubs had their own motives, owing to their 51% fan ownership. PSG are owned by the same people who own the TV company, beIN Sports, with the TV rights across the Far East. So I'm almost certain that had been and been involved with any broadcasting, PSG would eventually been in it. In this country, any club asked would have said yes, a fact. It's a football problem. It's not exclusive to these six sides. It's exclusive to the way football has gone. Thirdly, the sanctimonious bollocks of Sky. People like Gary Neville et al. I mean, people holding up Gary Neville, be Prime Minister, fuck off. Gary Neville bankrolled Salford and was not giving a fucking shit about the teams around him then and creating an unfair ballpark. He works for a company that have never given a shit about football fans. They all make me sick, the sanctimonious pricks. If Sky had been asked to show the ESL, they would. He would have still been doing Monday night football on a more inflated wage. You know, as soon as his thing at Valencia packed up, he fucked off back to Sky for $1 million a year, allegedly. Absolute bollocks coming out, this, that and the other. Guy was fucking creating unfair fucking levels at Salford. You know, it's just a nonsense. They absolutely make me sick, these people. And then finally, I mean, I can't even believe I read this, but my brother sent me a thing. Boris saved football. Oh, do fuck off. Please. If that's what you believe, just fuck off. I don't want anything to do with you. Boris saved football. This is a man a few months back was asking his aides to intervene when Saudis were looking to buy Newcastle. I don't know whether people remember that, but the Saudi Arabians were looking to buy Newcastle. And he was fucking getting his aides to look into it because he wanted the deal to go through for fucking relationships. Backhanded money-grabbing deals are one of that fucking imbecile's specialities. So they're the four sort of things. We'll have none of the Boris bollocks, none of the, oh, look at Gary Neville, they're super guy and Sky, look at them, they're all fucking horrific people. Outrage from France because your club's not in it, sod off. And Spurs and Arsenal, yes, football, of course they're not in it, but it's fuck all to do with football. And in lockdown, when I talked about a book, I don't know whether some of you read it, I think, guy is, you know, he's left side of politics without a doubt, but he, book was Can We Have Our Football Back, John Nicholson, but he details in fair good detail how far removed the game is from reality. And that's the facts of this, that's all this is. The game is long gone where the games, the stadiums were an integral part and the lifeblood of the surrounding areas. You know, we've watched clubs with like Bury disappear with a hint of dismay, and then life moves on. Who now mentions Bury? Nobody's getting up. You know, maybe people who were involved with the club or lifelong fans, but the rest of us, we're not going, oh, what about Bury? Poor old Bury. We've just moved on. You know, we've watched a club 100 years old disappear, all as a result of this sort of thing. We complain about the money players have played, often complain, and it is sick money. I complain about it, it's sick money. It's stupid money for playing football. It does not merit it. We pay our Sky subs, we sit and indulge in it, we watch Arsenal play Liverpool, Sky brainwash us into thinking it's an amazing event and the whole world is watching. Sky's viewing numbers actually are pretty sad in this country, and the whole thing's propped up by other elements of Sky's business model. Terrestrial TV top games outstrip Sky viewership around about 6-1, 7-1 ratio for big games. But the facts are, we don't want to watch Burnley v Southampton. There's only about 250,000, 300,000 people watch games like that. We don't want to watch it every week. Unless you are a fan of one of those clubs or living in a lockdown where, you know, watching TV now has become part of this zombie life. We just don't want to watch it. But people do watch City v Liverpool, Manchester Derby, Mersey Derby, North London Derby. It's a fact. Football fans watch these games. It's why 3 o'clock was preserved. On a Saturday and sacred for no live football. It's a fact of league football would suffer further if the North London Derby kicked off at 3 o'clock, because people do want to cram into pubs or whatever and watch games like that. You know, as fans, we crave success. We blame everything, but we're all in this. We've all caused this situation. We pay our Sky subs and we crave success. Liverpool spent $150 million on two players to bring success, Champions League and winning the league. That's what their fans expect. They're not going to give it back. They're jumping up and down. They're going, oh, fucking hell, this is disgusting. They were out in the streets dancing because Liverpool were able to spend $150 million plus all the wages go with it. Their fans didn't just like it. They expected it. United fans at the club now, they want the club to buy Kane or Haaland at that, whatever it is, $150 million plus package. Haaland allegedly wants 577 grand a week in wages. But United must compete. Their fans demand it. You know, they can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, this money's disgusting, but then expect your club to be in the market for people like that. I crave Levy to spend money. I've gone on about it many times. Don't be so tight. Completely different sphere to the levels of United, City, Liverpool. I have a go at him for not spending £22 million to get Jack Grealish when Villa were relegated. Jack Grealish himself thought he was coming to Spurs. Villa wanted £22 million. Levy wouldn't pay it. He would only go to 20, so we didn't get him. Fernandes, it was £8 million. Bruno Fernandes, again, deal done with the player. Sporting Lisbon wanted a fee. Tottenham, Levy was £8 million light of what Sporting wanted. Look at him now for United. I curse it regularly. Two players who may well have kicked Spurs on, and I look at them doing fantastic elsewhere. I wanted Spurs to spend that money. Look at Spurs fans when we sold Bale. The excitement of having £100 million to spend. And we bought an Argentinian one-footed fucking useless imbecile for £30 million. Arsenal fans demand spending. You had Arsenal fans ground half empty a few years back because Wenger wouldn't spend money and they wouldn't pay to compete, and all the stadium was built for that. Chelsea and City tip money out like they got their own royal mint. You know, look at Chelsea, £250 million that last year. Prior to last Sunday, where the majority of any of these fans of the club, were they out protesting in the streets? Of course not. We've all played our part in this. We've all played our part in getting here. And I, for one certain, do not think with the collapse of what's happened this week, it is gone. It will be back. It will be back in some guys. I was wrong. I did think they'd see it through. But, you know, they did underestimate the mood. JP Morgan didn't, you know, probably look into it enough. American owners probably didn't understand it enough. But I'll guarantee you that they'll be back. They will be back. And it's when, not if, for me, unless this outrage that has built and the protests maintain momentum. But I'll hazard a guess that they won't. It's a sorry state of affairs, but football will be on our screens. The season will end. August will all be championed a bit to go again. I won't, because I have fallen out of love with it for a while. I've hinted at that on the podcast. I've had discussions with people like Suggsy. I don't watch any football unless it's Spurs, really, and I try not to watch them now. I have a rule not to watch Liverpool or Arsenal, so if they're playing, I'll never break that anyway. But they know they have us. They know they have us, and the value of these clubs on paper is huge, but they are leveraged up to the hilt. Spurs are leveraged, you know, up to £1 billion with the stadium. The Spanish clubs are basically banked out in debt. You know, Barcelona reportedly in debt to the tune of £1 billion. The Glazers have taken £1 billion out of United. They need money. Liverpool fans demanding buy Mbappe, City, United, Kane, Haaland, as I say. It is what it is. And for those things to happen, for Liverpool to be able to keep competing, spending this money on these players, this has to happen, and it will happen, and it'll be their way. It will just be a different way, and it might be 3-4 years, but this is going to come back packaged differently. There'll be more explanation around it. They'll get the little sides on side by promise, you know, rather than just saying there'll be money for the football pyramid. I've no doubt they'll detail that out. They might make it a bit more competitive. The idea of the lack of competition was ridiculous, but they'll probably look at that. But I've of no doubt that something like this will happen. Now, wages in football are ridiculous. I've never heard one argument that has held up to what they get paid. Beckham, Ronaldo, Messi, probably only three people I would think of whose shirts and things pay for them worldwide. You have mediocre shit players all over the place getting 75, 80 grand a week. And they're not few and far between. They're like a plague. It has to be paid for. There are only five Premier League clubs whose wage bill is not in excess of £1 million a week. Arsenal, £145 million a year. A year. Yes, to be mid-table. £3 million a week to be mid-table. United, £183 million a year. City, £136 million a year. Chelsea, £143 million a year. Spurs and Liverpool, £130 million a year. It is mental. It's mental, mental money. But we want to watch these players. And it got out of hand, and it's one of them things difficult now to put the genie back in the bottle. These are private-owned companies. That's what you've got to... And they are. Levy isn't interested in the football side. He can say what he's not. He's interested in making money. He's interested in building that and making as much money. Pays himself the highest amount of anybody in football executive in the country. The European Cup, when I was a kid, it was a fantastic event. Forest winning it, Villa winning it. Great childhood memories of football back then. You know, knockouts. The Premier League started 92-93. Which in essence was a cartel of its own. You know, it was get these groups, get a load of money, fuck the lower teams, we'll give them 100 grand, if a million or whatever if they get relegated. But it was form this little club where we can make as much money as you like and get Sky on board. Sky act as if football was not played before 93. You never ever hear anything on Sky going back to before 93. Everything is done Premier League history. It's absolutely fucking terrible. And the Champions League soon followed. And Berlusconi, who owned AC Milan, he was sort of one of the keys in the group stages. You know, rather than it being a knockout competition, it becoming this six-game group stage. Real Madrid played Napoli, I think it was, in 88, 89, something around then. And Napoli got knocked out with Maradona playing. And Berlusconi sort of cottoned on to the fact that we lost the chance to see Maradona play because they went out. And from that sort of situation evolved the six-game group stage. Silvio Berlusconi, that absolute bastion of clean living and doing things right. But back at the time, you know, AC Milan were attracting the Ronaldinhos and etc. of the world. But he basically hinted that seeing the best players play was what people wanted. He was right, by the way. That is what people want. The numbers and that back it up. And the group stage's embryo was sown. Let the teams play six games. The world gets to see the best players. And they all make money. Win-win. And the numbers prove that people do want to watch the best teams and the best players at much higher viewing levels. It's absolutely proven. And the key at the minute, of course, compared to what was proposed... is that any team can in theory get there. Leicester, you know, West Ham trying this season to get there. The main cartel clubs still dominate. And you can see some good matchups, and it's exciting. You know, you can't say it's not exciting, because it is. If the Hammers get there and Hammers draw Barcelona, it's exciting. Spurs drawing Barcelona in the group stages a few years back. The chance to see Messi at Wembley, it excited me. I got up that morning excited to see Messi. I'd seen him in the Nou Camp against a lowly Real Betis in a sort of two-thirds full stadium. When I'd been in Spain, but to watch him play in our own backyard, it was scintillating. It was brilliant. Going to the Bernabeu for me to watch Madrid was a great experience, you know, tainted by British drunk idiots, but it was a great experience. And obviously going to the final in Madrid with Spurs, you know, yes, it was all over with a dodgy penalty in 30 seconds, but the travel and the day out, you know, Suggsy game, it was great fun. But that's what they were, their experiences. I've got no inclination to see Barcelona stuff Spurs week in, week out, and reading through the structure of that tournament, the game was just going to become exhibitions. But we have all played our part in getting here, you know. I often berate one of my big bugbears, and it's, you know, apt this week, that we have let the oldest knockout tournament in the world become meaningless. Letting United fuck off years ago to go and play some other bollocks world club thing, whatever it was. You know, this Sunday, Spurs go to Wembley to play the League Cup final. You know, people joke about it. The Carabao Cup, who cares? It's a joke. I care about it. But I'm often a lone voice in the pub. I've argued forcefully, never veered, that if you are genuinely in favour of fourth place over cups, you've got something wrong with you. I care, Sunday. We won't win, but I care. I want us to desperately. Do I give a shit if we finish fourth or fifth? I genuinely don't. And anyone who knows me knows that. You know, the promise of fourth place for Spurs was, I'll get fourth and we'll attract all the best players. It's complete bollocks. Look at Arsenal, 20 years of Champions League football, never winning it. What have Arsenal got to show for it, really? What have they got to show for it? New stadium, we're going to compete with Barcelona. The fucking thing sat half empty, their own fans wouldn't go. All this going before, and I used to give Arsenal fans pelters when they used to mock us getting fourth. So you're a team who won titles. You used to win the league, and you're fucking happy bobbing around finishing fourth. It means fuck all. But we've embraced this culture. You know, West Ham fans now, fourth place is everything. We've embraced this culture where finishing fourth all of a sudden became a trophy. We watched it happen. We jumped up and down about it. We cheered our teams on to finish fourth. And we turn around and say the cups are shit. We are all apart. And all we've actually done is watch fat cats get richer at the top, richer and richer. Fuck off. And it's what happens in the world. It happens with Amazon. Happens there. The world's... The top 10 wealthy people in the world, top 1% wealthy people in the world, are just getting richer and richer and richer, while 50% of the world is not. And it's not a socialist or whatever view. It's just a fact. That's what's happening. But we moan about it, but we embrace it. The people who moan about the high streets fucking falling down are going home and buying on Amazon. You know, at Spurs now, I sit in amongst 100, and I've long said on here that I don't enjoy it anymore. I sit in amongst 150 to 200 Koreans each week. Suggsy will back me up, absolute fact. Different every week, busloads of them come in, they're watching Song Hon Min, they're waving their South Korea flags. I'm ducking around iPhones and selfie sticks as they're videoing and photographing each other and the match for 90 minutes. It's bollocks. And the two words that really stuck with me this week in all this, when it came out, whatever day it was, Monday, was the phrase legacy fans. That phrase was not invented. One of the executives of those 12 clubs or 6 clubs, if it was from here, said it. And it's true. They don't want me anymore. I don't buy a shirt. I mean, unless you're playing for a team, no self-respecting adult man over the age of 25 should be wearing a fucking football shirt, by the way, with our beer guts sticking out. And if you have your name on your back, you need a fucking hard drive check, that's for certain. But that is how we're seen, legacy fan. Football clubs have been fucking off all over the world to Singapore, Thailand, Australia, USA in the summer. Not because that's where they need to go to prepare for football seasons. To build this audience, grow the game, they say, fuck off, is it? It's to grow an audience. And the numbers are staggering. Worldwide, 380 million people watch the Champions League. And if you compare that to something like the Super Bowl, which is a massive event, Super Bowl is about 120 million. It's three times that. These Americans have seen that, and they've basically thought, if we can get a few quid off all of them, don't need me in a stadium. You know, and I imagine the COVID situation has probably played a part in proving that to them, that they don't need full stadiums to still be able to make money. Of course it helps, but that's a small fry of their income. And that's what they're looking at. And they don't want people like me. They want to get these new people who are going to buy a shirt perhaps and do this, that and the other. But we've all played our part. We've all been guilty in this happening. And I expect, as with most things in life, I might be wrong, but I expect, and I refer back many times on here again to the expenses scandal in politics when pricks were buying duck houses, second homes, at our expense for fun. And when that happened, and it was massive on the news, you know, Telegraph leaked it, I thought, this is going to cement real change. It didn't. A month later, you know, a few got nicked. A month later, a news cycle changed. It moved on. And now they're all more corrupt than ever. All of them. The lot of them. It's a stench. The lot of them. It's a stench. And unfortunately, people now buying their flags to them. Boris doesn't do anything wrong. All of them. They are fucking, if they can get their fingers in pies, they're fucking disgusting individuals. And this, unfortunately, is exactly the same. And I imagine it will be exactly the same. The news cycle will move on. Apologies already start to be made. The game will resume. And at some stage, we will get ESL 2.0 and it will be thrust upon us and we won't blink an eye. And I'll give you an example of it. Who remembers in the last 12 months Project Big Picture? I expect a lot of you have got to go off and Google it now to find out what I'm on about. That was within the last 12 months. Project Big Picture with Rick Parry and all that. I may be surprised. There may be this wave of discernment gains momentum and the whole of what has become wrong with the game is started to reverse. But they're private companies. They're in it for business. They're in it to make money. They need it. Clubs like Barcelona, they're not going to pay that debt back without getting it. You're not going to see teams like Liverpool buying the best players without it. It's just not going to happen. And for us, we marry ourselves to a team, don't we? You know, we're City fans. I remember seeing some City fans on Monday. Or we only went in it because the others did. Like, they wanted, like, their absorbers. And Chelsea fans, we were the first ones to come out. Do me a favour. This is what I mean. We're all instantly trying to defend our team and there. It was disgusting, no matter what level you're at, and it's still disgusting. The fact it stopped doesn't make it any less disgusting. There's no fucking points to be scored by who's involved here. But it is a fact, and as stupid as it sounds, you know, I remember seeing a post, somebody saying something about, you know, football being child. It is childish football, in effect. It's a game, but for whatever reason, it is a part of your life. I've been going to Spurs for 42, 43 years now, 44 years. It's a part of your life, and you marry yourself to your team, and other people can mock, but it's a fact. For some people, much worse than me, it's how their team does at the weekend determines their whole week. And unfortunately, most of that is overplay players and club hierarchy that really couldn't give a fuck about you. But, you know, I can't see how this goes away. These American owners, as I say, they account for 4 of the 12 clubs. They're not idiots. They see what works. They see the closed shop US model where a team wins the Super Bowl and there's no ups and downs. The same 32 teams will turn up next year. Team wins the Super Bowl, calls themselves world champions when all they've ever done is play in America. But, you know, obviously they've moved some games over here. And they want to create that for football. And it'll... You know, it'll bring with it the bigger audience, and we will eventually succumb. We do. We always will. You know, as I say, the people who promote Amazon, you know, who goes to their local butcher, greengrocer, farm shop now? Nobody. They go Sainsbury's, Morrison's, Tesco's. There'll be the odd person who stands up and goes, look at me. But generally, we're a selfish breed. We do what suits us, and we're getting worse. And the fat cats are no different. You know, they inflate their wealth. And they want more and more and more. Not, you know, that's it. And we tend to sit back, watch and contribute. There won't be huge punishments. People now saying huge. It won't be. UEFA, Premier League, they need these teams. Don't be under any illusion that they don't. Do you think that Liverpool fans are suddenly going to say, fuck that, we're disgusted if they got kicked out and we're going to suddenly start supporting Burnley? Of course they won't. If Liverpool won a European Super League, let's say it came back in 5 years' time and Liverpool won it, their fans would be out in the city centre acting like twats, setting off fireworks, you mark my words. That's what would happen. So I hope it is change, but I really don't think so. They need it. I fear they will make it happen. From a Spurs point of view, part of my language, Levy is a cunt, will always be a cunt. I just want my club to win something. I do want them to win at the weekend. You know, people can laugh and say it's a Carabao Cup, it's a tin pot trophy. I don't really get the fourth place thing. I want to see them win something. And I sit there, you know, I'm as bad as anybody. Buy some players, do something. It's got to be paid for, and this is their way they see of paying for it and sustaining it. It's all got completely out of hand. I don't know how you see it. You know, if you look at just the wage issue, how you turn around and say, right, players, now you're going to be on $500,000 a year, $500,000 a week, and that's your lot. It's just not going to happen, is it? You know, you got, as I say, Haaland, $577,000 a week. I mean, it's sick. It is absolutely sick. But I just fear the genie's out of the bottle for me. I think it is disgusting. I think the game is disgusting. The game is so far from what it was, as I say. Particularly, I look at some of these northern towns where it was, you know, it's part of the community and part of the actual culture of the town. You know, Newcastle, you know, it's in the city centre. They love their club. But they want Ashley to spend money. Keeps buying. Where's the money? Buy some players. Somewhere, the money has to come from somewhere. It can't just be floating around. It's got to come from somewhere. But yeah, they got it massively wrong, didn't they? You know, the way they tried to announce it was just horrific. The thought process behind it, I find staggering. You know, they're not stupid, and particularly people like JP Morgan involved, but they massively got it wrong. But they'll learn from it, and they will go away, and they will come back. Do not fear. And people are quickly Googling Project Big Picture. So that's that. And as I say, in between all that, somehow, you know, Monday morning, was it Monday? It seems like it's just been such a bad week. Monday morning, Spurs sack Jose. And of course, that was instantly linked to the announcement of the Super League, but it was bollocks. It's because he's shit. No, I mean, I can't hide. I'm not a Poch fan. I've said it many times. When we hired Mourinho, I said in the podcast, whenever that was in that November, I said it will end in tears. But I had a sneaky feeling he might win us something and he might install a winning mentality into the football club, being a winner. That's what I liked about the fact, you know, you can't dispute the guy's a winner, even at United fans criticise him, but he still won at United Europa League. But no, it just has been an epic, epic fail of a project at Tottenham for whatever reason. But just staggering that we're going into our first cup final, for domestic cup final, for God knows how long, with a guy who has not managed a football team. You can't, it's as Spursy as it gets, you just can't make it up, can you? You cannot. If somebody had said that to me last week, I'd have said, well, you're mental, I'd have given you any odds you like. It's staggering, and us to see him at 10-1 for the job. I mean, I don't know. I could go on all day about Spurs. They're an absolute mess, disgraceful mess. But I can just see Levy sitting. I mean, he must have been like, I'm involved in this. Love it. 260 mil setup fee. But yeah, it's what a shambles. Right. I'll do more on Spurs after the cup final. I'm not watching it, fortunately. I'm actually out. Good planning on it, but it is what it is. Right, let's do some 30 minutes I've gone on already. Jesus Christ almighty. Let's do some Arsenal Everton. But before I get into it, we're all to fucking blame. And don't think you're not. If you're paying your Sky money and everything, you've all been part of it. Wasn't me. Right, Arsenal versus Everton. Let's do the old Premier League preview. Right, oh no. I've lost me thing. Hold on a second. I took so long that me VPS has logged me out there. Right, let's have a look. Arsenal Everton. Arsenal sitting in mid-table against Everton. I guess, well, mid-table, you could just call them top half, I guess, for them. Chasing Europe. Absolutely dreadful against anybody, Arsenal, Everton, Spurs, all three of them useless. Everton, staggering, I looked at this. Everton have played 23 games as a top half, middle three, middle table against top half, middle tables, mid teams, let's say mid table teams, that's the phrase I'm looking for. 23 games since 2015, they've only won 5 of them, lost 13. But Arsenal, similarly, have played 18. You know, just shows how Arsenal have slipped down. But Arsenal were absolute rock-solid top four. They've now got 18 games since 2015 as a mid-table team against mid-table. They've only won 7. So I couldn't book Arsenal. I couldn't back Arsenal at 2.12. And I certainly couldn't back Everton at 3.x. So as a betting prospect, it didn't appeal to me at all. I do quite like the over 2.5. I had it just a shade odds on. A 10 of Arsenal's 18 against mid-table have gone over. And more of Everton's games have gone over mid-table v mid-table away. So I do quite like a small drip of the over 2.5 goals. Both got ability to let in goals, shocking defences at times. Both got players who can score. I don't know whether Lacazette is fit or not, because I know he went off injured, so I think they may have lost him. But I do quite like just a, you know, not a massive stake, but nothing in the match odds, but a drip of over 2.5 goals, Arsenal versus Everton. Liverpool versus the Geordies. The Geordies are, to be fair, rallied a little bit, haven't they? I know we've been sort of digging them out, but they've got themselves up to 15th. looking like they're safe now, where they were, you know, at one stage looking like precariously in trouble. And Geordie fans, Ashley out, doesn't spend any money. But Newcastle, 28 games as a bottom six away to top half sides. You know, Liverpool are top six side, really, but you've got to say from where they are at the minute, top half. Still think Liverpool will get Champions League football. They've lost 19 of the 28 Newcastle. Liverpool have won 17 at home. It's again, you know, Liverpool 1.27. I expect them to win. I just wouldn't want to back them at that price. And people will point to the home form this year and probably say, let's have a look at potentially laying them. It might be that sort of play, actually, that you could lay Liverpool. It's 1.28, 1.29, low risk. The forwards have been misfiring. They haven't been striking, and you could probably nick a few ticks as a later back. But I do eventually think, I think Newcastle just set up hard to beat here, and I do think Liverpool will prevail, but I wouldn't want to back him at 1.28, so I would look at a lay Liverpool with a view to back them and nick yourself a few quid. One of the key games of the weekend is West Ham versus Chelsea. Obviously, you know, again, Leicester seem to have cemented, I think, their top four last night. So you're probably looking at, you know, City definitely got it, United definitely got it. I think Leicester now are going to take some catching in it. What are they now? It's Leicester are 32 games, 4 points ahead of Chelsea, 4 points ahead of West Ham. They have got a tough run of fixtures. I think Chelsea, it's going to be one, Liverpool I think are going to get it, and Chelsea, one of Chelsea or Leicester. I don't think West Ham are going to get it, but this is the big game for Chelsea, if they are going to get it. I mean, if West Ham get this, then you've got to say they've put themselves back in the mix. I personally think that I've just got a sneaky feeling we're going to see Chelsea and Liverpool again. I really do. Just West Ham, Leicester. They're the team, but they've just got a tough run in. You know, you sort of look at it and go, with the points, they should do it. But when you look at their run in, they've got to play United. They've got to play Chelsea. They've got us, I think. You know, it's a tough run in for them. Yeah, they got us. They've got away home to us, away to Chelsea, away to United. You know, they're home to Newcastle, you'd like to think they'd beat them. Leicester, Southampton, you'd think they'd win, but Southampton on their day can do something. And I think they'll beat Palace this Monday. So it really is interesting, you know, this battle for the top four. There I am criticising it, but it is interesting while there's still a competition. But anyway, West Ham, Chelsea. For me, West Ham have to win this to have a chance. Chelsea, even with a draw, maybe. But if either of them really wants it, I think they've got to win this game. Obviously, it's difficult because West Ham haven't been in this position. It's not something where you can look and go, you know, we're watching a much different West Ham to what we watched last year. Last 20 years, to be fair. The Newcastle result will have hurt them. But staggeringly, Chelsea, I thought Chelsea had a good record in these games, top six games, you know, not big six, but top six. Out of 18, they've only won two away. They've lost 11. Lost 11 of their last 18 away to top six sides. Drawn five, only won two. Again, that's going back to 2015. You know, it's a real, real interesting one. You know, they beat Liverpool, and then back before that, it was Man City in 16-17. They've just got a dreadful record away against top six, but we're watching a different, you know, this difficult managerial change. I think he's done absolutely brilliant. Tuchel completely changed them. You know, what, ninth in the league when he came in. He's got them up top four. He's got them to a Champions League semi-final, FA Cup final. I think it's tough, but at the price, if you're going to have a bet in the game at the prices, you'd have to back West Ham at five. It's too big a price. I actually can see it probably being a draw. I think it's going to be quite a tight, nervy game, this one. I think West Ham are going to be really, you know, not going to be gung-ho. They're going to be desperately trying not to score, not to concede. Chelsea haven't been giving a lot away, haven't been winning games by, you know, 3-4-0. Terrible performance against West Brom. So, gun to my head, I think it's probably going to be something like a 1-1 draw. But at the prices, given Chelsea's record away to top six seeds, given the way that West Ham have been playing this year, yeah, they slipped up against Newcastle. But I would have to, I'd have to back West Ham at those prices at the five. We've then got Sheffield United versus Brighton. I spared the Spuds because we've got the cup final. Bottom six. People still raving about Potter. He's probably just about kept them safe. Could you back Brighton? Would you want to back Brighton at 1.77 away from home? Not on your life for me. Not in a million years would I be interested in backing Brighton. They're bottom six. I've got just no interest in them whatsoever. At those sort of prices. In this visit to the table, they've played 22 games against bottom six sides. Won five of them. So I just could not, you know, they've lost 10 of them. I just couldn't get involved in backing Brighton. It's the same old news, I'm afraid. Brighton odds on. Lay Brighton. There'll be people here, Matt Stevens will be going, what? I can't be having it. Can't be having Brighton at all at one point at odds on away from home. Just can't have it. I couldn't have it against anybody. I know Sheffield United are down. I know there's no fans to play for pride. It's probably a game best left alone, to be honest. You know, if Sheffield United had their fans in, actually, you know, even though they're relegated, saying, come on, make us proud, you might have a bit of atmosphere, a bit different. You know, it's what I've warned against now. Sheffield United gone. Absolutely nothing to play for. Are the players going to be that interested? Brighton are probably safe. Just, yeah, hindsight, leave it alone. I've just done that. I'm talking myself out of it. Just leave it alone. On the numbers, though, I could only be laying Brighton. What's next? It is Wolves versus Burnley. Wolves sitting in mid-table. Burnley, precarious. Bottom six now. Not safe yet. You know, I'm a big Dyche fan. I think he's done brilliant with Burnley. But, you know, they need to get some wins on their belt. Wolves, massive disappointment this year, I think, compared to last year. You know, Burnley are, what, 6 points clear of the zone. Wolves, only 41 points, you know, below Leeds, below Villa. I couldn't have a bet on the game. I think Wolves have been really poor this season. You know, I know they've had injuries, but the excitement of last season, you know, when they were up challenging for the top four, top six, seems long gone. Let's just have a look at the price. I mean, the obvious bet would be unders, but it's going to be horrific, I would imagine. Yeah, 1.64 unders. Couldn't get interested in that. So, yeah. Well, no, it's not a lot. You got some poor games this week. And by that, I mean Sheffield United, Brighton, not much. Wolves, Burnley, not much in it. Leeds, Man United is next. I'm getting to the point where I'm going to have to say Leeds have done okay, Tom Hill. I'm getting to that point. You know, Spurs have been desperate this season, absolutely desperate, but Leeds are just sitting 7 points behind, I think, again above Villa, and we were all raving about Villa earlier in the season. Leeds to level, well, they're level on points with Arsenal, so I'm getting to the point, I told you the end of the season, but I'm getting to the point where you've got to turn around and say perhaps well done. I'm not going to wax lyrical about them, but Villa fans, I know, digging them out and they're above you. That's all you can say. Again, Leeds with only one season's data. It's home to a top six side. United away. How have United got on away recently against this sort of level of team? Let's have a look. I'm just clicking my spreadsheet in that. I've opened my Apple Music while I've been doing that. All over the shop. I've got to remember how to do this podcast lot. What price are United in this game, actually? It might be a starting point. I didn't look at the market on this one. United are 1.85. Grinding out wins, and they're just unbeaten away for God knows how long, isn't it? Good win at Spurs last time out. They've won one or drawn 26 out of the last 37 away to middle third teams since 2015. I couldn't back them at 1.8. I wouldn't want to against Leeds. Leeds are just an unpredictable. You don't know what you're going to get, but they've done okay. Let's just check the goal markets. Let's just have a look at the price. Over 2.5. 1.6. No, not for me. I'd probably be laying that at that price, I'll be honest. I don't think either team will be gung-ho. United will be well organised defensively, even with Harry Maguire. Villa WBA. Not a massive amount here, is there, today, this week? Villa, you got to say, sorry, lads. You're a bit of a one-man team, aren't you? You take old Jack out, who should be wearing a Spurs shirt if Levy wasn't a tight bastard. And you probably wouldn't even be in the league. You've got to say they are proving to be a bit of a one-man team. Quite a dramatic slide down the table since Grealish got injured. I know there'll be a few arguing with me, but they beat Fulham. They've had some tough fixtures, lost to City, lost to Liverpool, drew with Newcastle, drew with Wolves, lost to us. The only win in the last six is Fulham, which is no great shakes. Lost to Sheffield United, lost to Leicester, drew with Brighton, beat Arsenal. See, throw the odd one in, don't they? Beat Arsenal and lost to West Ham. So they've only got three wins in the last 12, Villa. But you're playing the old rubber ball, aren't you? They're gone. I think that loss the other night to Leicester. I think that's them well and truly done. Big Sam gone. Be free to take over the reins at Spurs. Hang on, I'm just getting the markets up, diving all over the place. Again, I didn't have time. I had a few issues website this morning. Looking at the prices, I quite like the price of Villa. It's just the fact that they've been so bad. But looking at the prices, if you back Villa around even money, 1.94, 1.95, could back them around that. I wouldn't put you off it. I do think they'll win this game just because West Brom are desperate. And I think that was a real kick in the teeth to West Brom. I think that was a realisation that they're gone. Again, it's difficult to equate these things when you're punting now, how that effect do the players genuinely believe with what, four or five games left, they can get themselves out of it, despite what the manager says. So again, it would be one, it's a bit like the West Ham one. At the prices, I'd have to back Villa, but I'm not that keen on having a bet in the game personally. I think it's best left. And then Leicester versus Palace. Leicester, good win. Leicester been, not going to top their championship winning season, but I think they've been, a real good, solid team this season. And I still think they're quite big at 1.51. I think Palace are on the beach. I think Roy's going, isn't he? Palace sitting 13th place. Not going to go down. Not going to go anywhere else. Leicester, everything to play for. Palace have only won seven games away. Have only won two away against top six sides. Leicester's form's a bit patchy against mid-table teams. It tends to be a bit hit and miss. But I think, Arsenal went there and won, didn't they? But I think at the prices, I quite like, even though they're short, I'll be very, very surprised if Leicester don't win that. It's whether you want to get involved at 1.5 or not. But I'll be very, very surprised if Leicester don't win that. Genuinely not much here. I think goals at Arsenal, Everton. later back Liverpool. West Ham, if you want to have a bet, other bet at the price, but I think that's going to be a grind. Blades Brighton, nothing in it. Wolves Burnley, just not for me. You know, Wolves maybe look big, but they've been so bad. Couldn't back United at 1.85. Villa, I like the price, but they've been poor. And Leicester, I think, are good, but you know, for my own personal betting, probably a little bit short. So we're unfortunately getting to that time of the season where things are winding down, and you know, relegation's going to be sorted. The key thing in the top in the Premier League is probably this top four battle for the money league between Liverpool, West Ham, Chelsea, Leicester. It will be two of those four. I don't think West Ham will get it personally, and I'm not just saying that because it's West Ham. I just don't think they'll get it. I think it'll be the experience and the others will come in. I'll be surprised. I'm going to make a statement now for Liverpool fans. I'll be surprised if Liverpool don't win all their games. I've just got a sneaky feeling that Liverpool are going to win every game and push up the table. You know, they've got Newcastle, yeah, they've got United derby, but then they've got Southampton, West Brom, Burnley and Crystal Palace. I can't see them not winning those four. I can see them beating Newcastle, and you know, obviously the Manchester derby is the one. Manchester, the playing Man United, not a derby of course, but rivalry. Huge fixture, one that has big viewing figures. On the 2nd of May, what, next week, that's the game. But the other five, I think Liverpool will win. And if they win those, that's got to put them right in the mix for it. It means Leicester need to find 9 points from somewhere, and the others need to find 12, 13 points. So I do think that Liverpool will get it. Looking at the fixtures, Tottenham definitely not. So it's Chelsea, Leicester, West Ham. Obviously Leicester in the driving seat, but they've got to play those. So the Chelsea West Ham fixture really is huge. I think if they both draw, you know, which I think that neither's going to want to lose it. Just that's the interesting tie of the week. Right, I've waffled on for long enough now. I am going to leave you. I've had my views on the Super League. I've got lots of things to cover. I'm well aware. I've got some more stuff to talk about. Mindset Monday. I've got the. I didn't do the billion or the million. I've got songs to sing. I've got all sorts. I've got get this week behind me. I'll be back with you tomorrow. I'll do some Poisson and some run through stuff for the European leagues, and then I'll be back on Tuesday. But I hope you're all well. Thank you again for people who've emailed in support and this, that and the other. It's appreciated. Have a lovely weekend, and I will be back with you tomorrow. And just remember, we're all part of it. We're all part of it. As much as we want to jump up and down, we're all part of everything that goes on. And if we do, we'll make a stand. You can see what can happen, but it will fizzle out, I'm telling you.